Usually I need a step stool. Since I'm up here, I want to say thank you for your beautiful vestments. I've been coming to this church since January of 2019, actually led here. But I so enjoy this church. I was drawn by the music. I'm still here because of the music. And thank you for your hospitality. Now, on the Proverbs 31 woman, hearing this passage might sound like bad news. Scripture sounds as though it's adding a voice of authority to the creation of more supermoms. So where's the good news? First, some background. The book of Proverbs is part of the Hebrew Bible's wisdom literature. And second, much of Proverbs is poetry, like much of Scripture is poetry, at least about 30%. Proverbs 31 in particular is an acrostic poem in alphabetical order. That means every line begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Some languages like Hebrew assign a gender to every word. So guess which gender the word wisdom is? Yeah, wisdom is a female word. So naturally, wisdom becomes lady wisdom. Third, Proverbs 31 is not just the last chapter of Proverbs. It is a summary of the entire book of Proverbs. It is a picture of the ideal wife in an ideal household, in an ideal society. Because this is the summary of all the lessons of wisdom in Proverbs, everyone, regardless of gender orientation, is to learn from the wife of noble character. Kind of sounds Chinese, huh? Or lady wisdom with an apron on. Could there actually be a flesh and blood paragon such as the Proverbs 31 woman? I nominate Sarah Pierpont Edwards. To begin with, the Proverbs 31 wife was wealthy. Sarah Pierpont belonged to the 18th century New England aristocracy. Her father was a minister at a time when ministers had high social standing and strong political influence. Her father also had money from land and inheritance. Her pedigree. One grandfather was the first mayor of New York City. The other grandfather was Thomas Hooker, the minister who founded two towns and helped America toward its start in independence. Sarah is said to have inherited her grandpa Hooker's charm, practicality, and tact. Proverbs 31 doesn't describe the woman's appearance or personality, but we know that Sarah Pierpont was a stunning and vivacious brunette, highly educated for her time. She could have had her pick of all the Yale boys, but at 17, she chose to marry an abnormally tall, even for a Howley, shy, socially awkward genius, a 24-year-old Yale tutor, an absolute nerd. Their union, however, would impact American and Hawaiian history. Meanwhile, let's see how she fits the profile of Proverbs 31. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and tasks for her servant girls. Like the Proverbs' wife, Sarah Edwards was an extraordinary administrator on a small clergy income for a household of 11 children and many, many visitors. There were no Holiday Inns. People stayed at the parson's house. On top of all that, all the food, clothing, and household items had to be grown, made, and produced by the family. The whole Edwards family rose way before dawn. Even so, it took logistics for Sarah to instruct one child to break the ice for breakfast tea, another child to bring in the firewood, and a daughter to finished up packing traveling food for their guest who was leaving after breakfast, while she and all the others cooked. There were no timers or dials to control heat. It took skill to cook over fire. Children's clothes were made from homegrown wool, cut, well, obviously they have to raise sheep, cut, combed, washed, dyed, spun, loomed, and then sewn. Verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Jonathan had a deep regard for Sarah and treated her as a partner. She flourished. Their children grew up secure, knowing that their parents loved each other. After the family's nightly worship, the two had their own prayer time together. The couple and family were spiritually bonded. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. One close family friend remarked how blessed Jonathan was to be able to entrust everything to Sarah with full confidence. Once Jonathan asked, "Isn't it about time the hay was cut?" And Sarah mildly replied, "It's been in the barn for 2 weeks." Furthermore, Sarah Edwards was like a Martha Stewart. She bothered to put a ribbon in her hair as she went down to breakfast. She stamped a design into her box of butter, and she arranged a pewter candlestick near a mirror for its effect. At a time when many children died young, all 11 Edwards children survived childhood. You can credit Sarah's sense of nutrition, household hygiene, and her personal good health for that miracle. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Sarah raised her children with both gentleness and firmness. She did not raise her voice. She did not repeat herself. She taught her children to obey not only by telling them what she wanted, but also why she wanted it. Children who do not obey their parents, she believed, cannot obey God. So from a child's earliest age, she nipped in the bud anything that was disagreeable, not only to her, but to anyone else. Verse 28 and 29. Her children rise up and call her happy. Her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. In 1900, A.E. Winship studied the Sarah and Jonathan Edwards family tree. He traced 1,400 descendants and concluded that they were like the Gulf Stream of good in American life. Much of the credit, he wrote, went to Mrs. Edwards. Without inherited wealth, they produced 13 college presidents, 65 professors, 100 lawyers and 30 judges, a dean of an outstanding law school, 66 physicians and a dean of a medical school, 80 holders of public office, U.S. senators, governors, large city mayors, a U.S. vice president. There were platoons of ministers, 100 overseas missionaries, trustees on church boards and organizations, directors of large banks and insurance companies, owners or superintendents of coal mines, iron plants, oil interests, silver mines, and so on. Sarah Edwards, gentle and firm, also allowed her children unusual flexibility to develop each child's uniqueness. All visitors to their home remarked on how such a diverse set of very individual children could still work together so well as a team. Such nurturing goodness passed down throughout the generations. We could stop here and just marvel at this extraordinary family, but this is real life. And in real life, there are dark sides, downsides. The Edwardses also experienced stresses, tragedy, family humiliation, and loss of position. Jonathan wasn't good with social graces, so nice extras were not forthcoming. Internal church issues became fiery hot buttons. Women were envious of Sarah's marvelous children, her good looks, and her having a husband who obviously enjoyed her company. While Jonathan was well known in New England and abroad, he was not appreciated in his home church. Sound familiar? He gave the most famous sermon in American history to his Northampton, Massachusetts congregation. Their response? They talked about the weather. That same sermon preached to a nearby church made American history. The first great awakening, a spontaneous revival with hundreds of people sincerely converting. Even children were found praying in the fields. But spectacular happenings come with controversy. Other clergy were put off or were jealous. It all came to a head, and Jonathan was dismissed from his pastorate by one vote margin. The Edwardses then became missionaries to the Native Americans. That beautiful frontier in Stockbridge, Mass., became a place of healing for the entire family. The Native people were generous with gifts, and Jonathan now had time to work his genius in theological writing. Later on, disease and death struck the family hard. Jonathan, Sarah, and daughters died of one thing or another. Dearly beloved, there are no guarantees of success or earthly happiness, no matter our efforts. Jonathan and Sarah did their best with their family life founded on the bedrock of faith, their children nourished by the rhythm of family devotions morning and night. Two grandsons illustrate their diverse inheritance. One toddler had both his parents and Edward's grandparents die, resulting in his being raised with his sister by a 20-year-old uncle. He grew up infamous in American history. Aaron Burr will always be remembered as the man who killed Alexander Hamilton in a duel. The other grandson, Timothy Dwight, inherited Jonathan's genius. Dwight became a popular president of Yale. But of interest to us is his welcoming, his taking in a dark-skinned foreigner. This young man would later write, "I lived with this pious and good family for some time. Here was the first time I meet with praying family morning and evening. It was difficult for me to understand what was said in prayer, but I doubt not this good people were praying for me while I was with them." The young man, Opukahia, eventually converted, but sadly died before he could return to his beloved Hawaii. Opukahia's faith, passion, and brilliance nevertheless sparked the coming of the first missionaries to Hawaii. Those young, hardy congregational missionaries from New England to fulfill his dream of bringing the gospel home. The text of the first sermon in Hawaii? "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The Gospel of Luke. Coming back to Sarah Edwards. There was a month when she had a mental breakdown or religious agony or both. After this ordeal, even her husband knew she was a saint. For the rest of their life together, Jonathan was amazed at her, quote, "daily sensible doing and suffering everything for God, eating for God and working for God, and sleeping for God, and bearing pain and trouble for God, and doing all as the service of love, and of doing it with a continual, uninterrupted cheerfulness, peace, and joy." Verse 30 reads, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Sarah Edwards was both beautiful and charming, but even more, she was a person of deep, encompassing faith. May we learn, claim this faith ancestor as our own, and be inspired by a human life totally given over to God, regardless of circumstances. Amen.
Welcome to Rise for the Hymn of the Day, printed in your bulletin.